Chapter 24, The Contest. New Year's Day brought a snowstorm that covered the Texas Panhandle with a thick layer of white. I feared that Daddy would make us cancel our plans to go to the radio station, but the radio station luckily postponed the singing contest until the following weekend. So we got to make the trip after all. We sisters wore our nicest dresses, but our old shoes, since we didn't want to get our new shoes muddied up. Even though the snow had melted in Mesa Valley, Daddy said the taller buildings in Amarillo shaded the streets and kept the snow cold and mushy. Buildings 10 stories high appeared on the horizon, exciting us to no end. We wanted to drive up and down every street in downtown, but Daddy drove us straight through and into a beautiful neighborhood. He didn't stop until he reached a vacant corner lot and announced that President Roosevelt was funding a new building for the little college in town. And on this spot, Daddy would be working every day on the construction crew. Next, we drove to the boarding house where Miss Bennett lived, just a few blocks away from the college. She came out carrying a basket full of sandwiches and bottles of soda pop. It was too cold outside for any of us to ride in the bed of the pickup, so the five of us squeezed into the cab with me sitting on Miss Bennett's lap and Sarah sitting on Irma. We drove to the radio station, and Daddy spent the next 5 minutes trying to locate a place to park in the crowded downtown area. Finally, we found a spot, and we walked 2 blocks through swarms of Saturday shoppers to get back to the radio station. Inside the station, Daddy introduced himself and the rest of us, and he signed us up for the contest. Lots of other people were there, including 3 men with guitars, a singing duo of women, and a number of individual singers. We 3 girls were the youngest by far. One by one, each act was called into the studio and introduced to the world, or at least to the world within broadcasting distance of Amarillo, Texas. We listened to each act perform as we waited in the lobby. I was terribly excited, but not at all nervous. I hoped that everyone in Mesa Valley would be tuned in to hear us sing, but Betsy was the only one I had been able to see during our Christmas break, so no one else knew to listen for us. When it was finally our turn, a man led us back to the studio where a boxy microphone on a tall stand awaited us. The man lowered the height of the microphone, and another man introduced us as the Weber sisters and asked us to state our names and how old we were.
I'm Irma, and I'm 12.
I'm Naomi, and I'm 10.
Sarah!
That's all she said. I nudged her.
8.
I shrugged, and the man introducing us continued on, telling the listeners that we traveled in from Mesa Valley. He then nodded at Irma, and Irma counted us down. We began singing. I was in my own little wonderful world as we sang, and I paid no attention to the men in the room until our song was done. At that point, I looked up and saw their faces bright with delight.
"The Weber sisters, ladies and gentlemen,"
the announcer said, and we heard the lobby erupt in applause. After the last act was finished, we waited in the crowded lobby for the results. A panel of judges entered the broadcast room, where the man announced,
"The winner of our Best New Voices of 1936 is the Weber sisters."
The room exploded in applause again, and we 3 girls screamed and jumped around with excitement. After claiming our prize, we headed back down the blocks to the pickup and drove to a nearby park to eat our sandwiches and drink our sodas inside our cramped little pickup compartment. All 5 of us giggled while we juggled our food and drink, trying to keep from spilling anything on each other, and I somehow ended up eating in the floorboard, but I didn't mind. Still hoping for dance lessons, I asked as carefully as I could, "What are you going to do with the money, Daddy?" Daddy said,
"Well, the way I figure it, you girls won that money, so you should get to keep some of it. We will use some for a new stock pot and a few other items we really need, and that will leave about $5 for each of you. What would you like to do with that?"
I hesitated to answer, knowing how annoyed Irma would be. Irma was quick to offer her suggestion.
I want to help the Carrolls.
Daddy smiled a very sad smile that indicated he was touched by Irma's thoughtfulness, but saddened that our neighbors were in such dire need.
They won't take your money, Buddy Bear. Mr. Carroll is way too proud for that,
Daddy said. Irma gave Daddy a sly look. Then we'll have to be sneaky, Irma said. We'll just buy a bunch of groceries and leave them on their doorstep. Daddy thought for a moment and laid out a plan that each of us agreed to. We would use half our winnings to put money on credit at Mr. Sidwell's grocery store for the Carrolls' use, and we would keep half to spend on anything we wanted. It was a fair deal, but half the money wouldn't get me far with dance lessons. With this thought running through my mind, I scolded myself. My one-track mind couldn't get that dancing train off of it. There were far more important things in life than dance.
Memory joggers. Did you ever enter any contests as a child at school or elsewhere? If so, what happened?
What do you remember about charitable acts when you were a child? Did your family help others? Did others help your family?